Well, you've heard the saying of nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. Well, there you go. You know how I feel right now. Been a while. First thing I want to say is, you know, Brother Derek and I, we don't ever discuss what we're preaching on. I don't know what he preaches on Sunday morning. Didn't know when I was in children's chapel what he would preach on, but it, you know, I love God and how he works. And it seems like more times than not, I would preach on something and it would fall in line with what he was preaching, or he would preach something and fall right in line, vice versa. And today's no different. It's kind of like a continuation of this morning sermon tonight. And by the way, I didn't know what he was preaching, like I say, and I've had this message tucked away in my Bible. It's been there several months. And so, I love to see the way God works and speak to you. And he's definitely spoke to me this morning, and I hope he'll speak to you tonight as well as he did me this morning, and hope he did this morning to you as well, too. Tonight we're going to speak on everybody needs a helping hand sometimes. We've all been in that position before in life. Some of us are there now. So we all can stand that helping hand. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 17. I know the preacher's already prayed, but I'm going to pray again. It seems to calm my nerves before I go to preaching any time, whether it be in the pulpit here or anywhere else. It just seems like the Lord calms me a little bit, especially when I need the strength to get through certain services like funerals and things of that nature. It does definitely, he calms me and gives me the words I need to speak at that time. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given me today, Lord. I stand here humbled, Lord. I'm not in any position to be behind this pulpit. I'm just a sinful man, Lord. But Lord, I thank you for the opportunity you've given me to speak your word tonight. I pray you would use the words I speak tonight, Lord. Maybe there's that one out there that just specifically needs to hear this message tonight. And I pray that you just use it and touch their heart, touch their life, Lord, and change it and make them the better for hearing. Forgive us where we fail you. Forgive me where I fail you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus 17, of course, we're with the children of Israel. They've come out of Egypt and they're headed to the promised land. And of course, in Exodus chapter 17, out of a rock. And if that wasn't enough for them, man, that I don't know what was. But you know, they like us, we continue to question God. Well, what you going to do for me now? And everybody needs a helping hand sometimes, but you know, sometimes the helping hand's there and we just don't tend to reach out and grab a hold to it. I don't know whether it be pride or hard-headedness or stubborn or whatever you want to call it. Sometimes we just won't ask God or let God help us. Let our friends help us. You know, that's what's so important about having a church family. You know I can pick up the phone at any given time and I can call anybody in this room, anybody mostly on our church membership, and I can ask for a hand and that hand's going to be there. If they're able, if they're always willing. Now, whether they're able or not may be the not there sometimes anymore. But anyways, they had seen a great miracle already. And Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. You know, even Moses, great, mighty man of God, he gets tired. We get tired. You know, there's so many times that we just get weary of the light. Just life itself just wears us down. You know, I know Brother Derek and Sister Kendra and all the family, they've been through a long battle getting Emmy to be theirs. And, you know, that wears on you. That tears on you. And not to mention, you know, we've had some pretty major casualties within our church family the past month or so. And that wears on you. That wears on us. You know, it wears on us, but just think about how much it wears on him. It's like a piece of your heart keeps leaving you every time that we lose somebody. And it's hard. It's hard. But I'm confident that he knows where his help comes from. And I know that he depends on him when there's nobody else to stand there with him in the darkest of the night. God's always there with him, but God's always there with you as well. He's always there with us. Even when we go through those dark days, those dreary days, God's there with us, right beside us, right beside us. We look at Moses. He had Aaron and Hur. Like I said, it's important for us to have a good church family. He needed Aaron and Hur there. His hands grew weary. He couldn't hold up anymore. We get like that. We just can't continue. Means to pull them near, but it means to build them up. And that's what we need to do for folks, our friends, our family, our church family. That's what we're here for, is to build each other up, to help each other, to encourage us to go out and do the work that God has given us to do. So Moses had his Aaron and Hur. Of course, he had God. No doubt he had God with him. The things that he accomplished in his life, no man could do that by himself. God had to be there. So, and that's what still amazes me to this day, that the people of Israel always seem to turn back. They turn back. Of course, they're forgetful like we are. You know, we in this country, we're bad about forgetting where we came from, where God has brought us from. And we're a pretty rocky point in this country's history right now, in my personal opinion, because we have forgotten where we came from. We've forgotten what's got us here, where we're at today. In Acts chapter 3, I'm going to make y'all flip a lot tonight. Not really a lot, but a few more times. Acts chapter 3. I'm going to be like the preacher. They took Acts out of my Bible. I'm kidding. I don't have one of them little Bibles. I got one of them big. Because I can't never get to them pages. Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us. Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now look at this next verse real close. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. You see, that's what people need sometimes. They need that helping hand. Can't do anything for themselves. They're down, they're out. Nothing they can do on their own. They don't have the strength within them to do it anymore. They need that helping hand to reach down and pick them up. Sometimes we have to reach down and slap them around a little bit to get them to get up, because people just get set and say, "Well, this is my position. This is where I'm at. This is where I'm always going to be at." No, it's not. Where God is, there's nothing impossible. God is still on the throne. Jesus is still sitting at his right hand. And we're still able to do great things, even in today's world, by his power. Not by our power now. That wasn't because of Peter that this man walked. It was because of Peter's love for this man, the Savior's love for this man, that he was able to walk. We still have a healer, the great healer, the great physician, and he can do all things, whatever it may be. Never forget that. Never forget that. Mark chapter 15. Beginning in verse 15. Now here we are right before the unto them, and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. See, Pilate wanted to let him go. He said, "I find no fault in this man." He said, "Well, we'll beat him severely, very severely, and we'll just let him go. They'll be contented with that." No, that wasn't enough. "We've got to get rid of this guy forever." Oh, little did they know. Little did they know. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. And began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him, mocking him, mocking him. You know, if we remember back in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was weary. He was weary. he fell down, and it says his tears, his sweat was like great, was like, I can't remember the way it's phrased now, drops of blood. This thing was killing him. It was hard. How many of you have been through some hard things in your life? All of us have. Everybody in this room has been through hard things in life, things that we really never thought we'd get through. But guess what? You're sitting here tonight. You got through it. And with God's help, you're going to continue. And then verse 20, it says, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compel one Simon of Cyrene, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. You see, Jesus even needed help. He was beat down. Beat probably beyond recognition. They did it, beat him with 39 stripes. Said that 40 would kill a man, had been known to kill a man. So they beat him 39. They hit him 39 times with that whip. And it wasn't just an ordinary whip, of course. We all know that. He was bloody and beaten and battered. He had been mocked. He had been spit upon. His beard had been ripped out. Anything that you can imagine to do to just destroy him. You know, you think about you. If you were in that position, you would be physically worn out, but mentally you would be exhausted as well. Spiritually, you would be exhausted as well. He was wore out. And they compelled this one man to carry his cross for him. Everybody needs a helping hand sometimes. Even Jesus needed that helping hand to carry the cross. You see, that cross had to go there. He had to hang there. He had already had this discussion with the Father. If I be willing, let this cup pass from me. It was the only way. His blood had to be shed on that cross for our sins to be forgiven, not his. He never did anything wrong. He was a perfect Son of God. And we're talking about, now listen to me, we're talking about a person, not just any person. He was 100% man, but he was 100% God. But he was weary. He was tired in the flesh. He was tired. And that man carried that cross for him. He was nailed to it. And he hung on that cross on that hillside. And still had the courage to say, Father, forgive them. Could he have helped himself? Yeah, he could have called down legions of angels, as it says. But he didn't. He didn't. Was it pride? No, it wasn't pride. It was for us. Simply for us is the only reason he didn't call on those angels. In closing, I know y'all, there's no way he's closing this quick. Well, I am. In Matthew chapter 14. Going to begin about verse 22. Very familiar scene. Jesus has just fed the 5,000. He sent them away. He's gone up into a mountain to get away. You know, he was tired. He was weary from the day that he had had. He had sent the disciples away. He was going to send them across the sea. And it says in verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. So he did that on his own. He took care of the last bunch of them by on his own. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Sometimes you just gotta take a breath. Jesus was no different. He took a breath. Allows us to go out there, because this is not our mission field in here. It's out there. We get equipped in here to go out there and do the work. And that's what Jesus had to do. He had to recoup. He was weary. He was, like I say, he was 100% man. He was tired. He was physically tired. But then it goes on and says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Fearing for the lives there, and then they see what they think is a ghost, I guess, coming across the water here. I'm like, oh boy, we're really in for it now. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. You see, like this morning when Brother Derek started preaching, I was afraid he was going to step all over the message that the Lord had gave me, because we have a tendency to do that kind of stuff. But it's really just a continuation. That widow needed help. God had the right man at the right place to help her. Jesus was there at the right time, at the right place to help him. And then in verse 28 it says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, they went from being afraid they were seeing a ghost to Peter saying, all right, Lord, just let me come on out there with you. That's Pahokee terms, I guess, preacher. I ain't from Pahokee, but that's Sycamore terms. That's what that is. That's Sycamore, Florida terms. And he said, come. And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. What the world says is impossible is the possible with God. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for us with God. We can accomplish great things as a church, as a people, as individuals. We can do great things if we just keep our eyes on God and walk with him through this life. Without him, we're going to fail. We're going to flop. Now you look at Peter, verse 30, but when he saw the wind, you know, he looked around, boisterous. He was afraid and began to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. He looked around at the circumstances. He didn't keep his eyes on God. He looked at the circumstances he was in and said, whoa, what have I done now? And they began to sink. You know, sometimes we look at situations we get ourselves into. We say, what have I got myself into? But you know, you can still call out. You can still look to God, and he can still get you out of any situation that you're in. Now, as Brother Derek has said before, there's consequences for our sin. But God can still deliver us from that sin. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. But you know, I like the reason I like verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. You see, that's the way salvation works. You see, God, back when I got saved, God didn't say, hey, we got to do a background check on this guy. He looks a little shady. He didn't take an application for salvation. He didn't tell me that you, as some people have told me, you got to do a Bible study in order to be saved. You got to go talk to the priest before you can get saved. You got to be a good church. You got to attend. In that position sometimes. But he immediately, no background check, no tithe check, no attendance check, saved him immediately. And that's the way salvation works. I look around this room, and as far as I know, everybody in here is saved. Don't know who's watching online. Don't know who needed to hear this message tonight. Maybe you need that helping hand. And you just need to call out. You see, we're a church family. We're there for you that's on watching online as well as we are for the folks in this room tonight. We don't know. And without you telling us, we can't help. But especially if you have never been saved, if somebody told you, well, you got to do this or you got to do that, all you got to do is from your heart to God's heart say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died for me. I ask says no application check. It says whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I thank you for your attention tonight. I hope the message has helped you. Maybe you're going through something that I don't know about. The preacher doesn't even know about. He knows about a lot of stuff, and he carries a lot of stuff, a lot of burdens. But if there's something that you need, you just got to let us know. We're there for you. We love you. I love you. Preacher loves you. Our church loves each other. And that's what's good about this church is we love each other. Thank y'all.